A parent of a third grader at a local elementary school is asked by the principal if he will agree to lead a chess club as an after-school club. The parent considers and hesitates for a while. It's been a while since he has played chess, although he played it a lot as a child. But after more consideration and thinking that maybe he can set aside some time to do this, he agrees. A woman who has struggled with anxiety and depression for most of her life finds that yoga and the practice of yoga is helpful. And so she begins to be a regular student at a class and becomes very, very good at yoga. In fact, becomes like a master student. And her yoga instructor asks her one day if she will consider leading a new class for students of yoga, particularly focused on anxiety and depression. The woman considers and hesitates. She doesn't think that she knows enough to be able to lead a class. But after more consideration and after agreeing to take a yoga teaching certification class, a beginner's one, she agrees to lead a class at that yoga studio to help folks with anxiety and depression use yoga as a healing practice. A recent widow is asked by her pastor, after she has completed a training course in pastoral care, if she will consider leading a group for grief and bereavement at their parish to help folks go through their own journey of healing through grief and suffering and loss. This woman considers and hesitates. She really doesn't think that she has it in her to be able to lead others through this journey of darkness into light. In fact, her own loss is still so close to her heart. And yet, after more consideration and more thinking and agreeing to meet with her pastor for a couple of more times, she agrees to take on a co-leadership of this grief and bereavement group. Just regular examples of an invitation to step out of your box and to serve and to try something new and try a new ministry that is first met with hesitation and wonders and doubts, self-doubt, wondering if, do I have it in me? Can I take this on? And then assenting after more consideration and saying yes. In today's gospel, we have a much more dramatic version of this theme. We encounter Jesus at the Lake of Gennesaret with a crowd of people who have come to hear him proclaim God's word. And among the people who are at the lake are fishermen who have been at it for a long time and all night and into the morning and who have not succeeded in catching fish. And so there is Jesus. He comes out onto the lake into a boat. There's so many people that he decides to get into the boat and out, push out into the lake, turning the lake and the beachside into a kind of amphitheater for him to proclaim the good news of God. And after he has preached, he invites Simon Peter, whose boat he has borrowed, to push out into the deep and to give it one more chance, to give it one more go. Peter is thinking to himself, this guy's nuts. We've been doing this all night and into the morning. Why should this time be any different? But probably sensing that there really is no option to say no, and that he can't refuse him, he assents. And so they go out into the deep, and they catch so much fish that the other boat has to come and help the fishermen carry the catch onto shore, and that the boats are almost sinking because there's so many fish. Simon, of course, realizes that he is in the presence of an extraordinary being. And Simon's initial response and reaction, "Get away from me, Lord. I am not worthy. I am a sinful man. If you only knew all the things and all the mistakes that I've done in my life." Simon's initial reaction is one of self-doubt and fear. Whatever you're up to, Jesus, whatever you're a part of, why ever you're here, I can't be a part of it. I'm not worthy. Go away from me. And Jesus, of course, says, "Fear not." See, it's really not about you. It's about what God and what I am inviting you to be a part of. And from now on, you're not going to be catching fish. You're going to be catching people. Come with me. Of course, this kind of theme and this kind of story, one of hesitation upon an initial invitation to come partake in God's dream of healing for the world, is something that is very common in Scripture. I'll invite you to remember Jonah, the prophet Jonah, and his initial reaction when God invites Jonah to be a prophet to his people in Nineveh. Jonah says, "Hell no. Get away. I am not going to have any part of this. I am going to run away from you as far as I can, all the way to the depths of the sea, even into the belly of a whale," Jonah finds himself. And yet, God perseveres, and Jonah assents and becomes a prophet in his time and place. And remember Moses and God's invitation to Moses to be an agent of salvation for God's people who are in bondage in Israel, and Moses' initial reaction and response, "No, not me, I can't do it. I have done some bad things in my life, and I can't even speak in public very well. There is no way that I'm going to lead your people, God," and God perseveres, and Moses assents, because Moses is not alone. He has his brother to help him and others. And today's scripture, Hebrew scripture from the prophet Isaiah, again, we hear the initial response, "I am a person of unclean lips, woe is me." No, no, that's the initial response. And then God persevering and the human being assenting. Scripture, you see, is full of examples of ordinary human beings living in troubled times who initially balk when presented with an invitation and an opportunity to partner with God in bringing healing and wholeness to a situation, but who eventually surrender and go with God's plan. Today, of course, we find ourselves in this continuation of God's story and dance with God's people, and there is no shortage of examples of how troubled and overwhelming the times we live in feel. You can take your pick, whether it's on the global scene, the overwhelming problem of climate change, whether on the national scene, the political divisiveness in our country, locally in our city of Baltimore, the violence, the ongoing violence, and the issues of economic and social injustice, and personally, in our personal lives, we may be trying to care for aging parents or our own aging bodies. We're dealing with disease and illness, conflict, tension, difficult family situations, things that feel overwhelming. And this tension, then, this tension between who am I to do anything about any of this, this feeling of unworthiness and not feeling up to the task, and the other side, the other voice, who am I not to? Who am I not to do something, to do my part, to do what's before me, to do something alongside others because I'm not alone? A few days ago, I was invited to a lunch over at the Blakehurst Retirement Community. The lunch was being hosted by a group of women, parishioners here at Redeemer who live over at Blakehurst. And they were extending hospitality to a group of women asylees from Saudi Arabia and from Nigeria. You see, this partnership and this ministry of hospitality began a couple of years ago when one of the women attended a talk here at Redeemer that was put on to inform people about the plight of refugees and asylees in our community. And this woman, this parishioner, felt so moved, felt God's invitation in her own heart to do something, and yet she felt overwhelmed by the enormity of the problem and by the issues that these refugees and asylees faced. It so happened that she was sitting at a table, at the same table as a nun who had founded a group called Asylee Women's Enterprise. that extended hospitality and support to women asylees from different countries here who had come to Baltimore. And our woman parishioner learned from this nun that there was a group of asylee women living right next door to the Blakehurst community. And so this woman thought, and she talked with other friends of hers at Blakehurst, and they thought, well, we can't give them jobs. We can't provide transportation. We can't really give them money. We're not sure what we can do, but we want to do something. What can we do? And they thought some more, well, we can invite them to lunch. We can invite them to tea. We can invite them to take walks with us. And so that's how it started. And they befriended a group of women asylees a couple of years ago, and now there's a new group of women who have moved into that house. And we all had lunch the other day, and the setting was just beautiful. It was a beautiful setting of women, friendship and solidarity, women creating a safe space for one another to tell each other stories. And so what they could offer, they did, and that was the gift of friendship and being a neighbor and hospitality. And last night, a number of us were gathered here in this sanctuary to listen to an extraordinary man named Chris Wilson speak. Chris Wilson was in Washington, D.C. and spent some of his time living there. And as a teenager, he committed a crime and was sentenced to a life in prison. But Chris could not forget the invitation that his grandfather gave him when his grandfather was dying. And his grandfather's invitation to Chris was this: you are not living the life you were supposed to live. You are more than what you are doing now. You are better than this, Chris. Promise me you'll change your life around. Promise me that you will make a positive contribution. And so Chris, when he was in jail, could not forget his grandfather's invitation to him. And so he committed himself to a master plan where he decided that he would teach himself and he would educate himself and he would get a college degree and he would learn different languages and he would start a business and that he would make a positive difference where he could in his own life. And so when he appeared in front of the judge about a dozen years later and the judge realized what Chris had been doing with his time, the judge reduced his sentence and set him free. And so Chris now leads a life where he's contributing positively to our community, and he is hiring and trying to find jobs for returning citizens. And he has decided to say yes to the invitation. What can you do? How can you contribute to the healing and wholeness in our society? We here at Redeemer are growing. We are catching people. Every Sunday, there are newcomers coming here to worship with us. And I think it's partly because there is a sense that we are trying to say yes. We are trying in our own way to do what we can do, what is ours to do, to be part of something bigger in God's healing and wholeness, desire for God's dream to be part of what we experience as Baltimoreans in the 21st century. And I'd like to end with this blessing of discomfort that I think I may have shared before, but it captures the spirit of my sermon today. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you really can make a difference in this world, so that you are able, with God's grace and alongside others, to do what others claim cannot be done. Amen.